Hello, and welcome to Sociology Sorted, the podcast that helps you nail your OCR GCSE sociology exam. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most important topics in your research methods section, sampling techniques. Whether you're sitting Component 01 or Component 02, sampling questions come up every single year, and they're absolutely worth mastering. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Let's start with the basics. In sociology, researchers almost never study an entire population. Think about it. If you wanted to study the attitudes of all secondary school students in England, you couldn't possibly interview every single one of them. There are millions. So instead, sociologists select a smaller group, a sample, that they hope represents the wider population. The group you're drawing from is called the target population, and the list of everyone in that target population is called the sampling frame. A classic example of a sampling frame is a school register or the electoral roll. Now, here's the key question. Examiners love to test you on, is your sample representative? A representative sample is one that accurately reflects the characteristics of the wider target population. If your sample is representative, you can generalize your findings, meaning you can apply your conclusions to the whole population, not just the people you studied. Generalizability is a huge concept in sociology, and you must use that word precisely. Only use it when the sample has actually been proven to be representative. Don't just throw it in randomly. Examiners will notice. So, how do sociologists select their samples? There are two broad categories, probability sampling and non-probability sampling. Let's go through each one. Probability sampling means that every member of the target population has a known, non-zero chance of being selected. These methods generally produce more representative samples, which is why positivist sociologists, those who favor quantitative scientific research, tend to prefer them. The first probability method is simple random sampling. This is where every single member of the target population has an equal chance of being selected. Think of it like putting everyone's name in a hat and drawing them out. In practice, researchers might use a random number generator. The key phrase for your exam answer is, every member has an equal chance of selection. Do not say picking anyone at random. That's the colloquial meaning of random, not the sociological one. Examiners will not award marks for that. The second probability method is systematic sampling. Here, the researcher selects every nth person from the sampling frame. For example, if you have a list of 1,000 students and you want a sample of 100, you'd select every 10th person. It's structured, it's quick, and it still requires a sampling frame. The critical distinction to remember, systematic is about intervals, every nth person. Don't confuse this with stratified sampling, which is a completely different method. The third probability method is stratified sampling, and this is the most sophisticated of the three. The researcher divides the target population into subgroups called strata based on relevant characteristics like gender, ethnicity, or social class. They then sample proportionally from each stratum. So if 60% of your target population is female, then 60% of your sample should be female. This method is excellent for representativeness because it ensures all key subgroups are included. However, it requires detailed knowledge of the population's characteristics, a complete sampling frame, and it can be time-consuming and expensive. Those are all valid evaluation points. Now let's move to non-probability sampling. In these methods, not everyone has an equal or known chance of being selected. These methods are generally less representative, but are often more practical, especially when a sampling frame doesn't exist. First up is quota sampling. This is the non-probability equivalent of stratified sampling. The researcher identifies categories like age groups or gender and sets a quota for each. Interviewers then fill those quotas by selecting whoever is available. The key difference from stratified sampling is that within each quota, selection is not random. It's down to the researcher's judgment. This makes it quicker and cheaper, but it introduces researcher bias. Next is snowball sampling. This is used when the target population is hard to reach, perhaps because they're involved in illegal activities or because they're a small, close-knit community. The researcher contacts one participant, who then refers them to another, who refers them to another, like a snowball rolling downhill and growing. Howard Becker used a version of this approach in his classic study of jazz musicians and marijuana use. The obvious limitation? Your sample is entirely dependent on the social networks of your initial contact, which means it's unlikely to be representative of the wider population. Finally, volunteer sampling, sometimes called self-selection sampling. Here, participants choose to take part themselves, usually by responding to an advertisement or a request. This is very practical and requires no sampling frame. However, it suffers from volunteer bias. The people who respond may share particular characteristics. Perhaps they feel strongly about the topic or they have more free time, which makes the sample unrepresentative.
Right. Let's talk about how to actually use this knowledge in the exam, because knowing the content is only half the battle.
Tip number one, always link your choice of sampling method to the specific context in the question. If the source material tells you the researcher is studying homeless people in Manchester, you need to explain why snowball sampling is appropriate for that specific hidden population, not just define what snowball sampling is. Examiners award marks for application, not just description.
Tip number two, when justifying a sampling method, contrast it with a rejected alternative. For example, stratified sampling was chosen rather than simple random sampling because it ensures proportional representation of different social class groups, which is essential given the research aim. That contrast earns you extra marks.
Tip number three, check whether the question provides a sampling frame. If there's no sampling frame mentioned, probability methods like random or systematic sampling are practically impossible. You cannot select every nth person from a list that doesn't exist. This is a really common trap. Students recommend random sampling without realizing the researcher has no access to a complete list of the target population.
Tip number four, be precise about generalizability. Only say findings can be generalized if the sample is genuinely representative. If a researcher used volunteer sampling with 20 participants, you cannot say the findings are generalizable. You'd say the findings lack generalizability due to the small, self-selected sample. Now, the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Number one, defining random sampling as picking anyone. Wrong. It means every member has an equal chance. Number two, confusing systematic and stratified sampling. Remember, systematic equals intervals, stratified equals subgroups. Number three, saying a method is quick and easy without explaining why. You need to say something like, volunteer sampling requires no sampling frame, which reduces the time and cost of participant recruitment. Number four, criticizing a sample size without linking it to the specific research aim. Don't just say the sample is too small. Say a sample of 20 is too small to be representative of the 8 million secondary school students in England, meaning the findings cannot be generalized.
Okay, time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, pause for a moment, then give you the answer. Ready?
Question one, what is the key phrase that defines random sampling? Answer, every member of the target population has an equal chance of selection.
Question two, what is the difference between systematic and stratified sampling? Answer, systematic selects every nth person from a list. Stratified divides the population into subgroups and samples proportionally from each. Question three, name two non-probability sampling methods. Answer, any two from quota, snowball, volunteer, also called self-selection, or opportunity sampling.
Question four, what is a sampling frame? Answer, a complete list of all members of the target population, for example, a school register or the electoral roll. Question five, why might a researcher use snowball sampling? Answer, because the target population is hard to reach or hidden, such as people involved in illegal activities or small, close-knit communities. Let's bring it all together. Sampling is the process of selecting a smaller group from a larger target population. Probability methods, random, systematic, and stratified, give every member a known chance of selection and tend to produce representative, generalizable samples, but they require a sampling frame. Non-probability methods, quota, snowball, and volunteer, are more practical when a sampling frame is unavailable or the population is hard to reach, but they're more prone to bias and less likely to be representative. In the exam, always define your terms precisely. Link your answer to the specific context, evaluate using the concepts of representativeness and generalizability, and, for longer questions, contrast your chosen method with a rejected alternative. That's it for today's episode of Sociology Sorted. You've covered the full range of sampling techniques, the key evaluation points, and the most common exam mistakes to avoid. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.